So hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 235 today of Level Up. 60 minutes, of course, of live Q&A where your questions really do drive the show. If you're watching over on YouTube, then you can find out so much more about what we do in the APMG International channel. So do head over there, give this video a like, and of course, to subscribe, and you'll find out much more. Now, live today, Ella is over in the social chat, so do let her know your name, please, and of course, the city from where you're joining. She's going to post a link in so that you can vote up the questions that you would most like answered, and of course, for you to be able to add your own as well. And if your question is selected, then your name's going to appear in the credits at the end of the show, and quite right too. So do get those questions in early and stay with us to see all of that happening. Understanding business, driving innovation, helping turn ideas into reality, they're all part and parcel of the role of being a business analyst. So whether you work for a large organization or a small one, a BA is generally a good listener, has structured thinking methods to be able to apply, and a variety of different tools to use in different situations. I suppose above all, they're able to master the art of mindful communication. So how do you build your career as a business analyst in 2024? To help us figure all of that out are our expert panel for today. So let's jump in and meet them straight away. Karen Newnham joins. She's a principal business analyst. You might remember she works for the Coal Authority in the UK, and Karen leads a team to help shape and deliver their portfolio and draws upon her experience of both private and the public sector organisations in which she's worked. A regular contributor to the profession and increasingly to Level Up, Karen authors articles, joins podcasts and runs local networking events as well. Welcome back to Level Up, Karen.
Thanks, Nick. I'm really pleased to be here. Really excited to hear all the questions people have got about business analysis. I think it's going to be a fun session.
It always is, isn't it? Business analysis is the kind of thing that everybody enjoys and everybody, you know, gets a lot of energy from. Okay, so thank you very much, Karen. Arvind Arcot joins. He's joining from Melbourne today. He's the manager for business, technical and process analysis at Unisuper. With a background in banking, finance and ICT, Arvind has worked in both government and also commercial businesses. His clients extend across the Asia Pacific region, and he builds BA practices. And with one of them from recent times, the Yarra Valley Water Team, being awarded Team of the Year, which is a fantastic recognition, isn't it, of getting something right. So brilliant. Thank you very much for joining. Welcome, Arvind.
Thank you very much. It's my absolute pleasure to be here, and I cannot wait to see what questions we have to answer.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Michael Brannick joins. He's, of course, an instructor with the Open Management Education Center, or OMEC, over in Poland. A learner, and he describes himself as an experimenter, which I think is a fabulous term to be able to use. Adapting to the context of each of his clients, Michael enjoys a challenge, even those projects which, quite frankly, are struggling and need some clear actions and a little TLC along the way. He can honestly say that in his role, no 2 days are ever quite the same. Welcome back to Level Up, Michael.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to this session.
Thanks so much. Luca Gambetti is the founder, of course, and the principal trainer at Equality Italia, whose purpose is to have a positive impact on Italian organizations through leadership coaching, training, and other education services. An accomplished coach and mentor in his own right, he draws upon the getting things done methodology and the approach of the Business Relationship Management Institute as well. Welcome back to Level Up, Luca.
Thank you, Nick. Very happy to be here to talk about my favorite role.
Excellent. Thanks so much. It is a favourite. Andrew Porter is a senior learning consultant, of course, with QA here in the UK, where he delivers a range of business analysis courses from people like APMG, ourselves, of course, and the British Computer Society as well. His clients range from the small and medium enterprise all of the way through to the corporates. And he's always looking to bring out the very best value in the training and education that he delivers for each person. Always focused on the individual, Andrew works hard to deliver outstanding outcomes for every candidate. Welcome back to Level Up, Andrew.
Welcome back, Nick. Again, it's lovely to be here. And I do enjoy these sessions, hearing the questions from people, just trying to get an idea what people are asking out there because this role, a lot of people don't quite get it. So hopefully we can help that today.
We can really try, Colin. Yeah. I think it's a kind of a lifelong quest, you know, to exactly. help all folks kind of understand and align around this one. But that's why it's so exciting, so interesting, and it's so engaging for people as well. So thank you so much. Really great to see you. Completing our expert panel for today is Dieter Strasser. He is, of course, Managing Director of Viable Project, where he leads his team as an experienced solution catalyst, visual enthusiast, and accredited trainer, amongst other things. Coaching and taking a very much human-centric approach, Dieter seeks the best from his client engagements, building capability across the profession. He's also a regular contributor. You're getting the theme today, everybody, that everybody on the panel gives something back, and they get even more back from their giving, which is brilliant. Welcome back to Level Up, Dieter. Great to see you.
Good morning, Nick, and you all, and may the BE force with you.
What a great phrase. We might borrow that one from time to time. It's 80% original, 90% original, anyway. So very good. Thank you so much. Now, the show doesn't work without a brilliant question master. I'm thrilled that Suchitra Jacob is able to join us today from Bangalore in India. Hi, Suchitra, how are you?
Hello, Nick. Hi to the panelists and our viewers. I'm doing well, thank you. And yeah, I can see we have a lot of questions to ask for today's show.
All right, excellent. Well, as I said before, if you're in the audience, do introduce yourself in the social chat, say hi, tell us your name, and of course, the city from where you're joining. We'll do a shout out for everybody who's online in a few moments. But in the meantime, Suchitra, I think we should get underway and start with the first question to the panel, please.
Sure. So our first question is from Brett Adams, who asks, how important is it to have a degree in a specific field, example, business, finance, computer science, for aspiring business analysts?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because over time, professions do evolve, and there are more people, more young people now, coming into working life with a degree qualification than perhaps was the case, you know, when I began my working career. Why don't we start off from Karen? What are your thoughts on this?
Thanks, Nick. My very short answer is it's not important. And the reason I say that is because I would be much more looking for someone with a curious mind, someone who sees things out there, sees processes and systems out there and thinks to themselves, why do we do that? You know, why can we not do that better? So that's the first thing I look for. If Brett was thinking about which degree out of those ones you talked about, I guess the one personally for me would be the finance piece, because I see that that's kind of the place where people are least strong. But yeah, I don't think primarily I'd be looking for a degree. I'd be looking for that mindset.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you there. I think the it's fantastic to have that level of education, and if you're able to secure it in the world, that's a really great thing. It's not necessarily a hard prerequisite, is it? So thank you very much indeed. Let's go to Michael next, and then Andrew.
I fully second what be said, and I would only add that in many cases you will be changing careers, and you might become business analyst at some point. I started as a geographer, so I'm not a business analyst by first profession at all. And during our last projects, we actually managed to set up a good geography department of a university. So you will change careers, and with a little bit of training, you will learn the tools of the trade. And I fully second that we do struggle a bit with this database decision-making. So the financial side of it all is very important to brush up and gain some skills. But otherwise, great certification and off to the races.
Thank you. There you go. Excellent. Thank you so much indeed, Michael. Really appreciate that. Andrew, your thoughts, please. Then we'll hear from Luca.
Yeah, my first thought is I don't have a degree, so of any sort whatsoever. So that's the first thing to give anybody confidence that you can get into this game. My second point would be following on from what my colleagues have said. absolutely a good education, a broad education. I don't actually want specialists in my groups. I want people who are prepared to listen, to take in new things. I've had colleagues who've had geography, philosophy, all sorts of weird and wonderful degrees. All are welcome, basically. I want, in a BA team, I want lots of variety. So that's my point.
It's such an important thing, isn't it, to have a multidisciplinary team. It's one of the things that we benefit the most from on Level Up. We have a panel approach, and it's a team-based approach to kind of listening and responding, thinking things through and making recommendations and so on. So thank you very much, Andrew. Completely agree. Luca, final thoughts on this one.
Yes, I agree with everything was said. Just two very quick experience coming from Italy. First of all, a big consultancy player in our market. I teach them business analysis since years. They have multifunctional teams with people coming from philosophy, economics, literature, whatever, no IT people. And second experience here in Italy, we have a degree that is quite popular in which they learn about IT and business processes. And this, the name is not really important, but this could be the way.
Absolutely right. I think what's changed is that when I began in the profession in the late 80s, early 1990s, there were fewer people comparatively with degree level education that mapped directly into IT-based careers. So from that point of view, you had to draw upon a multidisciplinary background. So thank you very much indeed, panel. What a great question, Brett, to kind of get us going, and some great answers there as well. So I hope that that gives everybody some encouragement. We're going to have a shout out for social in a few minutes, but before we do that, I think we'll press on, Suchitra, if we can, and ask our next question to the panel.
Our next question is from Victoria. How can AI be implemented in BA?
All right, so it's the war of the two-letter acronym today. Disa, help me out here with all of this. How can AI be implemented in business analysis?
So such a great demonstration in Miro, where AI generated a bunch of user stories in a high quality. I was totally impressed. But on the same side, please never rely on any other. Never stop thinking. Think on plausibility, prove it, think on the direction, and rely only on yourself.
It's such an important thing, isn't it? You know, you really do need to, you know, consider that when you're looking at any tool or any source of information. Thanks very much indeed. Arvind, your thoughts, then we'll go to Michael.
There are a few use cases there we could use AI. One is to enable you to do your own job in terms of meeting notes and being able to summarize the meeting notes and the action items and all that. That's one thing. And the other thing where you could use AI is if it's a brand new system you're implementing, you've never implemented a system like this. Let's say you're implementing CRM for the first time. Obviously, the business do not know what to tell you as requirements. They don't know because they haven't seen any better. So a good place for a BA to start would be to go to AI, look for some good requirements for a CRM system. Take those to the meeting for starting points for your conversations. And say, I did some research, and this sounds like a good functionality. Do you think this is going to be useful for you? And things like that. Like Dita said, don't blindly trust AI, because AI can sometimes give you a lot of nonsense.
Indeed. But, indeed it can. But, indeed it can. Thank you. I think you struggled there for the adjective, but I think you hit it spot on. So thank you very much. Thank you very much as well for professionally phrasing the variable results. Let me put it that way. It's a very English term. You may get variable results depending on how good your conversation is as well with the large language model and many other factors. Michael, you've been waiting. Let's hear from you, and then we'll go to Luca.
Yeah, this is a really nice question. Well, we have to remember still about organic stupidity in times of artificial intelligence, unfortunately. So please keep your critical thinking there. So it is not a solution for everyone. It is not a solution for everything. But I must say that the most boring things in business analyst career are those, those tiring meetings, taking notes, all those spreadsheets, etc. AI is great for that. That's why we invented computers. And also, you can deep dive into several concepts with AI, which will help you decompose them. So it is a great tool in your analytic toolkit. However, be skeptic.
It's certainly true, isn't it? Especially when you're working at pace and scale, being able to aggregate, summarize, and draw conclusions, if you like, from large data sets. AI certainly has a role to play in helping you on that journey, but you might just not want to type in, summarize this entirely and tell me what you think type questions without giving it some proper value add and judgment. Thank you, Michael. Really great point. And I'm going to borrow your phrase of, be careful or consider organic stupidity when applying artificial intelligence in your work. That's a great phrase. I certainly bear that in mind myself. Thank you. And Luca, final thoughts on this one?
Yes, I'm a little bit more positive on that. I am engaged with one of my customers. We are analyzing about 2,000 questionnaires made by medical people coming to some kind of events, and we fear that the questionnaires were badly written and the answers were biased. So this week we will analyze using an AI the questionnaires, trying to understand if they are biased and how. So I'm curious about that.
Yeah, it's a really good point. That word curiosity or being curious has come up a couple of times already, and it's certainly the golden thread, I think, between everybody's career as a BA. And one thing to consider as well, of course, in our work is the security of the information that we're sharing with large language models. Some of it will be under intellectual property control, and other elements of it may well be actually personal data. So be very careful about vetting properly any artificial intelligence platform, engine, tool, and so on, that you are attracted to use. It may be free for a reason. There's a thought, isn't it? Okay. Let's move on, if we can. Suchitra, I can see lots of people online now, all joining in. We're going to say hello to everybody in a few moments. But before we get there, let's take our next question to the panel, please.
We have a live question from Enrico G.R. Corella. How can we convince local companies unfamiliar about business analysis of its importance?
Well, this is a really great question, Enrico, because it's not even just small organizations that don't always recognize the true value of having this as a distinct and clear role as they try to innovate in their organizations. It's the kind of thing where we sometimes need to do a little bit of internal education first to elevate the role up so that people can begin to see it. So I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask a couple of folks on the panel for their thoughts. If you are in a situation where, senior people in an organization, Dieter, you coach senior leadership, C-suite people all of the time, how do you go about if you've either got somebody that's a bit skeptical, or perhaps they've just not come across the business analysis role with that label on it? Maybe they've called it something else.
How about to ask the companies on unsatisfying user stories, developments, on losing ends, or anything else on their problems? Of course, all around. I don't want to convince anything. I want to uncover the problems, and maybe we have some recommendations for solutions. And the business analyst is, of course, a very good solution.
Thank you so much indeed, Dieter. Great thinking there. Karen, your thoughts, please, and then we'll go to Arvind.
So I was going to take the point of local companies. I wonder if Enrico meant that perhaps smaller places might benefit from business analysis. And I wanted to shout out that in the UK, we have an initiative called BA for Good, which is to help charities get the benefit of business analysis. So that's sort of one way of, I think there's one way of convincing different areas of just finding those places where people can benefit from that critical thinking. I guess I would say that's the same principle that I would take in a bigger company or, you know, commercial company where they don't understand business analysis, is I would look to see where there's a problem and demonstrate how you can get some good outcomes from the critical thinking skills that we bring.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that. We'll try and find a link to Business Analysis for Good or BA for Good. And the team will post that into the social chat for everybody so that they can have a look at that. I might come back to that thinking about how you can demonstrate value in a few moments. Arvind, your thoughts, please.
I think it's all about what's in it for them. So when you're talking to company owners or managers or what executives, they need to understand that business analysis will help them take more informed executive decisions, because we provide them with our findings from initiative A to initiative B, and we'll tell you what the value proposition is. We'll tell you where the value is to do in doing this. So if it enables better decision-making in the company, it's very easy to tell execs that this is where business analysis can give you value. And then when you're talking to heads of or end stakeholders, it's about bringing clarity to the table as to what needs to be delivered. And not everyone has the ability to articulate what they want. And that's where BAs come in and help them articulate what they need in a way that people, that everyone understands what they need to do in order to provide that solution. So it's about, its value is slightly different based on who you're talking to in the company.
And yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, and if I can take another 30 seconds, maybe not so much. One of my older companies, the GM of that company was my biggest critic because he thought business analysis is really not needed. And fast forward 12 months, he became my biggest advocate just because of the value we were giving in projects. And he just saw what was coming because if he had a BA. He became my biggest advocate by the end of it all. So, you know, you just provide value and people will see it.
Absolutely. And I think that's the thing, you know, it's not sometimes what you do, it's also how you do it. And if you support senior people in arriving at better outcomes, then they're going to see your work as valuable and they become more and more engaged with you. They ask for your input more and more, and you can demonstrate that over time. And I think, Andrew, it's fair to say that, you know, certainly in your work, you've witnessed this working brilliantly in smaller organizations as well as the larger ones. Is that fair?
Absolutely. The smaller organizations have a problem because can they justify a BA role? What I'm finding with my training courses, I get lots of people who are a BA some days of the week, they're PM other days of the week, general dog's body. The job title gopher has always been addressed to BAs anyway. So we all have to muck in and do lots of things. But yes, getting the idea that somebody who can go away and get you all the information that you need to make a sensible decision, making that clear to a small and to a large company is very important, and not just at the project level, but also at the big decisions strategic level for an organization. Too many times I've had companies, or when I've worked for companies, I get a project and I think, who thought of this? Who got the idea of this together? So that's my thoughts.
Okay, all right, excellent. Thank you very much indeed. Well, thank you, panel. What a great question, Enrico, as well. We need to fly the flag here, folks. Come on, we need to stand up and be counted as BAs and kind of say, look, this is what we do. This is how we do it. Come and engage with us and notice the difference when you put a BA in a meeting. Notice that difference. You know, don't be shy. Speak truth to power. All of those good things. Facilitate like it's 1999. There's a quote for you. Okay, all right. So Let's look out over in social. We've got quite an active audience today, and we're going to welcome a couple of people back who are regular viewers. Charlotte Miller is joining us early on a Monday morning for her. So welcome back, Charlotte. She's had a little bit of annual leave, I think, recently. So good to see you online today. We also have a couple of other folks. Adara joins us. She's a regular contributor, of course. Hi, Adara. Great to see you today. Welcoming us into West Africa, actually, in Abuja in Nigeria. That's really brilliant to have you online. Look forward to some questions from you, Adara, in the coming moments or so. And of course, we've already heard from Enrico as well through his question that was asked a little earlier. So let's look at the next question that we have. And if you're watching us online, you are the producer of the show. So you need to put in your questions so that the panel have something to be able to answer. So Chitra, if we can, we'll take our next question, please.
Sure. So our next question is from Robert Snyder. What are the most common confusions and myths about the business analyst role, title, and profession?
All right. Okay. Arvind, start us off on this one, and then we're going to hear from Dieter.
I had written an entire article about this exact thing. What are the myths of business analysis? And I've just opened that up just to remind myself what I wrote from a couple of years ago. And the first thing that came to mind was BAs are only meant for IT projects. And that's not the case. We are business analysts, not IT analysts, right? And that's the first thing. And the second thing I thought of at the time was BAs are only focused on requirements. It is about requirements, but it's also not all about requirements. It's everything. Requirements is very much just the output of what of all the work we do. So it's not just about requirements was the second myth. The third one I had was BAs are only needed after a project kicks off. A big no-no. A BA comes in right at the beginning and shapes the scope of the initiative all the way till going live. And so that's the third myth that I wanted to bust. And the other one is we don't need a BA, we have an SME. Two different jobs, two different roles. BA comes in to articulate the needs of the business, and SME cannot do that.
Thank you so much. Thank you. That's a great start, if I may, Arvind. What we're going to do, we're going to let some of the other folks in as well, see if, because you never know, they might actually kind of add to your list, or they may confirm the great work that you've been doing. So thanks so much, Arvind. Dieter, your thoughts, please. Then we'll hear from Karen.
I will focus only on one. It's the business analyst always writes all requirements, the user stories, and so on. And maybe one confusion origins if the business analyst is the same as the product owner in a Scrum environment, where there is a different approach, but it's the only one. The users and the technicians, the people who want a requirement, should write the requirement. The business analyst only helps.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. It's kind of that movement, isn't it, from origination into actually enabling others, you know, being the facilitator, being the coach, if you like, almost, to get requirements clear and concise and without ambiguity. Aaron, your thoughts on this one?
I love the points that Arvind said. I really want to see your article, Arvind, and the points that Dieter said. I would add that I actually coach my team to do this, that we are not there to do what the project manager just tells us to do. And what I mean by that is quite often people will go onto a BA will go onto a project and they'll receive some information from the PM as to we need to do a workshop here, we need to do this here, we need to do that here. No, you're the expert of the business analysis. So work with your project manager to figure out what is the best things to do in relation to the outcome that you're trying to achieve through that project.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. If you're familiar with Meredith Balbin's work on team roles, he was basically somebody that said that, you know, how do you build a high-performing team, and has devoted a lot of his professional life to researching that. And typically, project managers aren't necessarily unbiased. put it that way. So they might just occasionally from time to time be looking for a particular outcome. So I totally agree with you there, Karen. You need to have the confidence, don't you, to be able to plow your own furrow, so to speak, as the BA, and then you will add even more value. And do you know what? You'll save the project manager from an early mistake that they may regret later on during the project lifecycle. So top work and great advice. Thank you so much indeed, panel. And thank you to Robert, actually, who's a regular contributor to the Level Up community, for an excellent question, confusions, myths, and so on. So fantastic. Thank you very much indeed, Robert. That's absolutely brilliant work. Suchitra, questions are stacking up now. Let's move on and take our next question for the panel, please.
So we have a live question from Natalie in Wales. Which skill would the panel say is the most important skill when becoming a BA? Problem solving, relationship, or time management?
Michael, why don't you start us off, please?
I will say only one, and it is critical thinking. Ask good questions and challenge everything.
Good questions and challenge everything. Fantastic. Andrew, your thoughts? Then we'll hear from Luca.
I would say yes to all of them, basically, which is the most important critical thinking. I support that, yes. Being interested, just looking under the hood, effectively, trying to see what's not the obvious, and working that way.
That's me. Excellent. Thank you very much indeed, Andrew. Great advice. Luca, your thoughts? Then we'll go to Dieter.
Yeah, I would like to say relationship, because without building trust within all the stakeholders, you will not get all the information needed for critical thinking, problem solving, and whatever.
Yeah, it's very true. You know, even however brilliant an idea might be, a moment of clarity that you may have as a BA, if you don't have the trust of others, it will come to nothing. It will be snuffed out like a candle on a windy day. So you definitely need that. Thank you, Luca, for, you know, highlighting that. Such a super important element. Dieter, please, and then Arvind.
No, my relationship to Luca is destroyed. I have to change my mind. Business analysts should keep the overview always again, overall, with all the dependencies.
Hey, excellent. Thank you very much. Do keep that helicopter view so that you can see and balance, you know, the inputs accordingly, I think, might be one way of considering that. Arvin, final thoughts on this one.
I'm going to fiercely agree with Luca here, because relationship building is an absolutely underrated skill. Business analysts need to absolutely have to just think about it. We dwell in the detail, which means we have to be sitting in a room, locked in a room for hours on end with people. Imagine if you don't have a relationship with that person, how insufferable is it going to be for that other person to be sitting in the room? He or she is not going to share information if they don't like you. So build relationships. I think it's absolutely penultimate.
Thank you very much indeed. Well, great answers. And Natalie, I think you get top marks today, and certainly your name's going to be in the credits at the end of the show, because it's a brilliant question, actually. Very well phrased, well put, to the point. So thank you very much indeed for that work, Natalie, as one of our producers, which you are today. If you're in the audience, it's not a passive thing. It's about being a contributor and really shaping the conversation on Level Up throughout the hour that we have together twice a week. Very good. Chitra, let's move on. If we can, we'll take our next question to the panel, please.
We have a question from Marcus. How can I bridge my knowledge as a project manager to transition smoothly into business manager or business analyst roles?
Well, because this is a challenge, isn't it? I guess there might be some things you may need to give up, but there's others that you will need to acquire along the way. And Michael, you've helped a lot of people make this kind of transition and kind of think about where they come from, their professional background, their heritage, and make that move. What are your thoughts on this?
My project management career started from maybe running around screaming, "It can't be done, it can't be done." And then one of my seniors said, "Oh, really?" So this is how you basically start. So just keep your curiosity and have courage, and you've got this. So do not worry, the transition will be smooth, because many of the skills you already have.
I love that combination, actually. We've had Curiosity many, many times today. If we were doing one of those word clouds, I think it would be the largest of the fonts in the center of it. But also now have courage, okay? Being a PA, yeah, it needs a little bit of courage, doesn't it? It needs a bit of strength, inner strength, some fortitude about it, and some techniques of how to do that. We might get onto techniques in a few minutes. Karen, your thoughts, please, and then we're going to go to Andrew.
So PMs are usually measured by different things. You're thinking about time, cost, and quality. I think as a BA, you probably put the quality first. So that it's worth thinking about. You do still need to think about time and cost, but you're trying to make sure you've got a holistic view of the landscape, of the context, so that we get the best business outcomes. So I would say as a PM, you need to sort of move your mindset to that angle. But what you've got going for you as a PM is that you've got that time management. So the bit that I struggled with when I first became a BA was, when do you know how much is enough in terms of doing all of that analysis? So that to me would be a good strength that you would bring as a PM, but you do need to remember that you can't always be thinking about things in terms of time and cost. You need to be thinking in terms of business outcome.
I completely agree with that. Scoping is quite important, isn't it? You know, if you have a day to look at something, you'll get an outcome. If you have 10 days, you'll get a different outcome, and so on. You know, you need to be able to, you know, balance, if you like, that pragmatic work, with the quality, and also, quite honestly, sometimes to caveat things. You know, sometimes you'll get a senior person saying, you know, have we researched the market, or have we done this, or have we done that? And that piece of work in itself may be out of scope of the reach of the resources that are available to be done. So a few little caveats, objects in the mirrors may be closer than you think, the beverage in the cup may be hot. That kind of thing is always helpful to any analysis piece of work. Andrew, your thoughts on this one?
Just a quick thought. I'm getting a lot of PMs and other sort of management grade people on my BA courses recently, and I celebrate that because they're trying to find out what BAs do. I've also found as a BA, I do a lot of PM work, and PM does a little bit of BA work. I think if you think you are a PM and you want to be a BA, you'll find that you already possess quite a lot of the skills because you have an analytic edge to what you do as a PM. So don't be intimidated. If it appeals to you, then please do go ahead and try to work over. I think you'll find you have a lot of the skills already.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Andrew. Great point. Really well made there. Thank you. Very good. Well, what an interesting question about transition. And the important word there was smoothly, I think, from being a PM into the BA role. And certainly where that cap of curiosity from the Harry Potter films, you will have seen the sorting hat in use. Well, maybe where the cap of curiosity is the BA. That's something that will stand you in good stead throughout. So, Chitra, if we may, let's take our next question for the panel.
A question from Lee. Do you think it's better to have BA experience in a large organization or a small startup? What are the differences between the skill sets needed for each of those?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Small can often mean rapid and broad scope. Large can mean slower and more narrow scope. Andrew, what's your experience? Do you think start large or start small?
I've done both, basically. So as you were saying, the difficulty for the small is that you end up as part of a team of doing all sorts of things, whereas in the large, you can end up as a BA in a department of BAs. Almost strangely enough, in the large, you actually a bit more whereas you have a purity of being a BA, you don't see the whole big picture. I think the small company, there's no right answer. It's either small or large. But my viewpoint is that a small one, you get to see a lot that's going on in the organization. Whereas in the large, you'll be given a small project in a small part of the organization. So in terms of development, I'd go small. But It's a 50-50 question, to be honest.
Okay. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you, Andrew. Luca, your thoughts, then we'll hear from Arvind.
Yes. Well, starting with a small organization will provide a business analyst a full understanding end-to-end of the business processes. So for learning is very, very useful. While working in a huge organization will teach the business analyst how politics works, how in a big company you must factor in relations. So both are important. Maybe starting small could be easier.
Thank you very much, Aditya. That little politics word kind of sneaking in. I get that. Thank you very much, Aditya. Arvind, your thoughts, then we'll hear from Dieter.
I'm increasingly having to say this, that Luca and I are from two different parts of the world, but we both think exactly the same. So in big companies, I was going to say exactly that. Luca stole my thunder. Is in a big company, you'll have to learn how to navigate office politics. You'll have to learn. So that's where your ability to build relationships really comes to your rescue. I worked like Andrew, I worked in both small and big organizations. It's all about critical thinking. It's all about your ability to bring clarity to the table. It doesn't matter where you start. Okay. Personally speaking, a great place to start would be consulting, you know, believe it or not, because I started my career in consulting. And what consulting does is that this just takes you everywhere. It will put you in a bank for 6 months, and the next 6 months it will put you in retail. Another 6 months it will put you in government. What that teaches you is adaptability and flexibility to learn about a new organization quickly enough to be able to show value. So it really doesn't matter if it's a big or a small. What you bring to the table is what counts.
Thank you very much indeed. It's such an important thing, isn't it, to deliver value every day. That's what you bring to the table. Dieter, your thoughts, then we'll go to Karen.
I will never relinquish on analysis. Neither I'm a large or a small company. And it's better to shape the first ideas with enough design upfront and outsource development as in reverse. So always, again, also for small companies, take some analysis work.
Absolutely. Thank you very much indeed. Karen, final thoughts on this one?
I'm going to slightly disagree with the rest, I think. I would say a large company, because A, you've got more interesting, more complex situations to deal with, and B, include in that kind of legacy architecture space, which when I'm hiring people, I'm looking for, you've not just worked with a problem space that's kind of small. You've worked in somewhere where you've had to think about more of those connections and more of those relationships and manage that. And then the last thing, C, was that, and this may be like, maybe not necessarily a large or a small, but I'd be looking for somewhere that's got a solid BA community as a new business analyst, because I think you need, as a new business analyst, you need somebody to advocate for that role. We talked earlier about sometimes that role gets lost and becomes a note taker. So if you were learning, I would be definitely looking for somewhere where they've got a strong BA community and people advocating for business analysis.
Thank you very much. And if you are working in a small to medium enterprise, then do consider joining a professional community, because that will also give you that access to like-minded folks who may well be able to help you out. And we all need that in our careers as well. So thank you. I do agree with you, Karen. I worked with a CIO once who said, you know, our challenge here, Nick, we've bought every technology and we've retired none of it. So it was a great, honest, very open and honest kind of phrase. You know, they had a little bit of everything. They had a mainframe doing some stuff well. That was, and nobody actually knew exactly what some of the code on the mainframe really did, but they didn't want to touch it because it was right at the heart of their business. And they had client server and they had cloud and they had hybrid and they, you name. Anyway, doesn't really matter. Great point, Karen. Thank you very much indeed. So Chitra, we're running out of time, but if we sprint panel, no agile pun intended, we might just get to the finish line. So Chitra, next question, please.
A question from Harriet. Would the panel recommend joining a community for BAs to help me develop my career and skills? And if so, which ones, please?
Okay, so let's get a couple of suggestions. I honestly didn't know that this question from Harriet was next when I made that remark. So thank you very much indeed, Harriet, for raising it. professional communities, Arvind, make a recommendation and then we'll go to Michael.
IIBA is a global organization for, it's an industry peak body for BAs, and it's in 120 different countries. So you just got to look around, it must be right behind you. So it's a great place to go there and expand your network. It is fantastic.
Thank you very much indeed, Michael.
LinkedIn, because there are very good thematic groups and support groups, and you will have your own issues in your own environment and then find solutions there. So this is a brilliant source.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And by the way, if you're watching online, you'll find a little link to all of the panelists' bios on LinkedIn on the apmginternational.com website under events. Okay, so go to today's event and you'll see us all the panelists, and by all means, reach out to us and make your first professional connection with a member of the Level Up panel team from today. You would be most welcome to do that. Karen, your thoughts recommending a community of BAs?
I definitely second IIBA and using LinkedIn. So I'm going to slightly expand the question to resources. And I do find a colleague of mine who runs a BA Digest, which is a quarterly magazine. That's a really good resource for business analysis. Different thought leaders considering different aspects of business analysis.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Adina. I quite like the concept of a quarterly newsletter because it suggests somebody's taking the time to curate content. You know, and when you're mid-career, what you want there are great thoughts, okay? Not necessarily just stuff. And I think the frequency sometimes of those who are posting, you know, with a high degree of frequency, you need to do a lot of the legwork yourself as a quarterly. You know, sounds really high value. So thank you, Karen. Great suggestion. Excellent question, Harriet. Thank you so much for joining us from the island of Ireland up there in Belfast, which is brilliant, a lovely city and well worth a visit if you're ever over there for business or indeed for leisure. It's a really lovely part of the world. Excellent. Let's move on to Chitra. I think we can fit in one final question to the panel.
So our final question is from Billy Travis. How did the panelists get into the BA role?
Okay, well, here we go. What a great question, Billy, to be able to, you know, kind of finish the show on, so to speak. Andrew, did you fall? Did you jump? Were you pushed?
Everybody on every one of my courses says I fell into it. To be honest, I was programming. I was a mainframe COBOL programmer, and I wanted to know why people were asking me to code things. It was as simple as that. I became an analyst programmer, and then that led into the BA role. So that's how I got in there.
Fantastic. Thank you very much indeed. Michael, what caused you to take flight, flap your wings, and soar to the heights of becoming a BA?
I tripped. So same as Andrew. I tripped. I was told that I'm asking good questions, and off we went.
Okay. Well, I think it was in Toy Story, you know, flying is falling with style, you know, something like that. So there you go. It's pretty close. At any rate, I'll take that one. Luca, what happened in your professional career?
Well, I served as a project manager. My organization asked me to redesign its processes. And then doing this job, I was asked to serve as an assessor in the European Quality Award. I did this for 6 years, and then I used my experience to become a business analyst.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Karen, I'm going to come to you next, and then I'm going to come to Arvind, and then we'll finish on Dieter.
So I'm the same as Andrew. I was actually a mainframe PL1 programmer, although I did know COBOL a little bit. And I was just too annoying, I think, for the developer community. I would not sit down. I would be constantly asking questions. And so I looked around and thought, what else can I do? And actually, there wasn't business analysis at the time. There was systems analysis. But I did that. And then from there, I moved to business analysis. I just asked too many questions. So
Fantastic. It's lovely to hear these languages as well. For those of you who are earlier career than me, okay, then you might not recognize some of these language names which are coming out, but you know, you have to be of a certain era to kind of even pick that up. All right, very good. Arvind, your thoughts, please, then we'll hear from Dieter.
I started my career as an analyst programmer, and I was working in a project in New Zealand, and I was working very closely with the BA. And just watching him closely work was what he did was a piece of art for me as a developer. And the more I worked with him, the more I got inspired by how he thought about his work. And that's what told me I want to do that job as my next role. And that's how I started as a BA.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you, Arvind. Fascinating, fascinating. Dieter,
and
how
I started
did you arrive at this?
I started as project manager, then I embarked to facilitate the role, and all of a sudden, this ugly HLBA methodology appears, and I wanted to supplement my portfolio. I asked another specialist, he disagreed, so I had no chance. I had to take it over for myself, and it was hard work at the beginning to me, but afterwards, I am so glad always again, it opened my eyes all around. It was really a puzzle piece which extends all my knowledge all around and brought it together.
It's interesting, isn't it, how these pivotal roles, they form us as professionals. You know, at the time, they're often immersed in challenge, you know, difficulty, sometimes working away from home, sometimes being away from family. You may be working physically close by, but the hours that you needed to dedicate meant that you had to make sacrifices and so on. And yet, how much value we draw upon those times later in our careers. They were really character forming, and they help mold us into the professionals that we become later on in our careers. So thank you, very honest answer. Well, wow, panel, what an incredible show that we've had. Let's move to some reflections really on today, please, if we can. Dieter, would you start us off? What are your thoughts?
Okay, it was my second BA panel today. But it was, I got additionally insight and views all around, and it was also inspiring. And I think we can do and start the third one, of course.
Thank you very much, Aditya. I completely agree with that. We are on a bit of a journey, you know, with these this year as we really start to, you know, kind of drill down on some of these topics, and the audience is growing all of the time as well for it. So I think that you're absolutely right there. Thank you very much indeed. Michael and then Arvind.
Can be great career led by curiosity and just ask the right question. Well, there aren't the right questions. Just ask tough questions, you will make some people nervous, and now you will know that you are on the right track. Yeah,
it's completely true. And if you want to know how to do that, particularly in an agile environment, then have a little look at the QR code, which is on the screen right now. It's a really accessible course, and it's going to be one that will elevate you from just thinking about this to give you the confidence to jump in. All right, so have a little look at that. We'll come back to some other suggestions as well around design thinking and that kind of stuff in a few moments for people. Arvind, your thoughts on today, and then we'll go to Luca.
This was my second one, just like Dieter, and kind of questions that come through are really fantastic. And actually, thanks for the last question, because it really took me back to how I started this journey. Really good. Strong recommendation. Go and join a community. Get involved in the community. The best way to learn is to give back to the community. And expanding your net, that is the best time and the best place to expand your network. The more BAs you know, the better for you. And if you're doing business analysis right, you're setting yourselves up for greater roles, greater leadership roles, and setting yourself up for success.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. You know, wholeheartedly, this is a brilliant platform upon which to build a highly interesting, engaging, and rewarding career, not just financially, but actually in the changes that you see happening in front of you. And in time, over time, you see that really taking shape. And design thinking methodology we've put up on the screen as well, folks. Now, this is an area which is really in high demand at the moment, and you might want to consider as extending your skills if you're mid-career as a BA. You're thinking about extending your skill set. Do have a look at design thinking. There's some really great work going on in that field. And I think it fits very nicely alongside the classic BA type courses and education. So just give it a bit of thought. Luca, your thoughts, please. Then we'll go to Karen.
Well, two quick reflections. The first, I was very lucky to have a BA career in the last or maybe 40 years. Second one, it is unbelievable to be here with people coming from all around the world and to feel at home speaking the same language. Thank you, everyone.
It's certainly true, Luca, isn't it? We learned so much from each other as a panel and also from our producers online. We've had some amazing contributions today from the producers, from Enrico, who kind of started us off all of the way through the questions that we've had submitted. So a great contribution from everybody online today. So thank you. Karen, your thoughts, please. Then we'll go to Andrew.
Yeah, great questions, great panel, and great closing remarks as well. I was really learning things from there. So yeah, there was a few things I would have said as well, probably said better by others. So Michael's point about making people nervous with your questions, I think that was a really good point. And Arvin's point about being linked into a community, yeah, I'm always advocating for that. And the design thinking, I've just literally sent put my team on some design thinking training. So, yeah, really supportive of that and think that's a real compliment to the business analysis skill set. I wanted to finish, though, by saying the biggest thing for me is the and Nick, you mentioned it, and everyone else has mentioned it as well, is that curiosity. So having that curious mindset is where a good business analysis starts from.
Thank you very much, indeed. Thank you, Karen, for all of the work that you're doing and the pro bono work as well in the baforgood.org. Work as well. We really appreciate that. Andrew, your thoughts, please, and then we'll hear from Suchitra.
Okay, thank you very much. It's lovely to do this because it just, you get these left field questions and it just makes you think about some of the things you do. I teach courses, and so obviously I'm asking questions and doing things, but I'm doing that again and again and again. It's nice to get these sort of questions coming in like this, and I really enjoy it, and it's lovely to meet the rest of the panel because they've all got great ideas. Don't always agree, but that's what we do, isn't it? So ask questions, challenge. That's what we like to see. So thank you very much.
Absolutely right. Thank you, Andrew, and thank you for all of the excellent contribution that you've made today and previously, actually, on the other level ups as well. Suchitra, it was quite an exciting, I think, episode today. It sort of built and built, got really quite animated towards the end. What are your thoughts?
It indeed has been, Nick. I enjoyed listening to all the panelists, though I was not on camera all the time. And of course, our viewers can't thank you enough because your questions is what set the panelists thinking and answering. So thank you.
It's certainly true, isn't it? Without great questions, there can be no great solutions. And perhaps that's another quote for the role of the BA as well. So do have a little think about that. So thank you, Suchitra. Great work today in navigating our way through all of the questions that were submitted and selecting the ones that ultimately were put towards the panel for them to be able to answer. Thank you very much indeed. Talking about the folks online, I want to thank you all for your excellent questions that you have submitted today. Great work, everybody. And also on their behalf, thank you, panel, for giving us your time so generously. Do watch out in the credits if your question was selected, because your name will appear at the end of the show, and that's really important. So thank you very much indeed. Now, over on the APMG International website, you can, of course, search for answers to more than 2,300 questions that have been previously asked and answered across all of the different events that APMG run around the world. It's totally free of charge, and it connects you with more than 300 experts from around the world. Don't forget that you may also listen to the audio versions of the shows on your preferred podcast platform. So just search for APMG International, Level Up Your Career, and you will find us. Now, we're going to take a short break for Easter, so there won't be a show this coming Friday, or indeed the following Monday on the 1st of April, so no shows on those 2 days. But we'll be back on Friday, the 5th of April. It's 2 p.m. in the UK. We'll be in British summertime then, so our clocks will have moved forwards, as they do at the end of this weekend. And we'll look into developing your career as a change management professional. And then Monday, the 8th, is when we're going to be diving deeper into how to engage stakeholders with our second episode on that topic in 2024. So if you're working on projects and you need to engage with stakeholders and you need to figure out how to do that, and you're thinking, you know, you need more guidance, more help, more assistance and so on, then do join us then. Don't forget, head over to our YouTube channel. Give this video a like and subscribe. It really does help the channel out. It costs you only a moment of your time. Ask us and we'll send you a personal summary of what's coming up next and how you too can join us here on the panel and level up your career with APMG. Thanks very much, everybody. We'll see you next time.